eating Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I am Gray Drake, and you are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Yeah!
Ow!
Is that your homage to the Rock of Ages trailer?
My homage to that movie is just me jumping up and down on a couch and going, this is what we're in for.
I saw that trailer. It looks so bad.
I haven't even seen the trailer yet because I'm avoiding it on purpose.
that's a smart move. That's kind of like, you know, I'm trying to avoid cholera, so I'm not going to build my well next to my sewer.
Well, right. It's like I don't want tuberculosis, so I don't associate with orphans.
Well, you know what's funny is like the trailer starts out and it's like, you know, from the hit musical. So already you know it's going to, you know, but you like partway through you forget that it's a musical. Because they're just throwing all this 80s imagery at you, and right. You got the music, and then suddenly people start singing, and you're like, what?
basically, we have a huge winter in store coming up at us.
Yeah, this has to be is this January, or is it summer? It'll be a summer release. So.
It almost has to be, otherwise we would have been bombarded with it by now.
Yeah, yeah. Let's move on. Great to have Gray back with us. Is this what, the third time you've hosted?
I feel like it's
third or fourth, maybe four.
Yeah.
I think the first time you hosted was about a year ago.
And, it was.
Yeah.
Oh, we talked honey, about it's our anniversary.
Oh, that's so sweet. Awesome. Before we talk a little bit more to Gray and how things are going in her life, let's talk about how you can get a hold of us. You can go to fatguysatthemovies.com. You can go to iTunes and search Fat Guys, and we'll show up. And I'm sure other things will show up, but it's Fat Guys and the Fat Guys Network. You can go to facebook.com/FGATM or email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. We still have an email, but we're going to play that in a later week because it was addressed to Mel Valentin, who had a bow out for a guest because he had super Ebola. I think he's better now.
Ooh.
His organs have unliquefied.
You
can leave
just
us a voice
in time for the holidays.
I know, isn't it awesome? He can now eat turkey. you can reach us also at voicemail 740-205-6456. How are you doing, Gray?
I'm super good. I'm so glad to be back. Your voice just comes over this headset clear as a bell and makes me happy.
That's great. I'm glad. I'm glad. I always hate it when I cause people grief when they hear my voice.
I know. I always wonder that, honestly. Like, I keep thinking, like, wow, are there some people out there that are like, no, I just can't do it anymore.
They're like, he's so annoying. Well, my kids don't like it when I get loud. Let's just say I do tend to yell when I get upset. Although what's funny is my son was somebody was asking him about somebody was referencing swear words, and they said, you know what these bad words are? And he's like, yeah, that's what my dad says when he's driving.
That's how you know you're raising them right. Hey, listen, at least they're observant.
Yeah. Well, and it's great because I'm like, well, I say some mean things when I drive because I start attacking. Because do you do this where like somebody like is either going too slow or doesn't see where you're going and you just start attacking them personally? Now, they can't hear you, but you're like you and your stupid hair and your ugly face and it's a completely wasted thing to say because no one hears you except yourself and your kids are like, my dad's a jerk.
No, I do. I get pretty brutal when I drive as well. A lot of the times, though, it's me just going, oh, really? You thought that was a good choice? What else did you think was a good choice? Majoring in liberal arts? What are you doing? And it just gets mean like that. I'm more girl mean than
you go
I
after
am.
Like the more intellectually mean. You'd be like, oh, my gosh.
Well,
do you
I'm
know
like,
what that means even?
I'm like, ugh, I bet your husband is poor. Like, that's the kind of stuff I say.
That's awesome.
I'm the original mean girl. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, that's okay. Well, you know, hey, everyone's allowed to be whoever they want to behind the wheel.
Oh, this is why I love you, Kevin. Yay, I'm so glad to be back.
Yay. So tell us real quick, tell the audience in case they haven't listened, where they can find you and who you are. And what you are.
Well, I am the host of the Popcorn Mafia podcast, which you can find at popcornmafia.com, which Kevin has been a guest on and I'm hoping is going to make an appearance sometime soon again.
Absolutely.
And I also write reviews every week for movies.com and I review movies on CNN on Saturdays.
I've never heard of CNN. What is that all about?
I think it stands for, is it something about news network? I can never remember. I'm
thought
not
it was
good
cable
with,
nude network, and I was suddenly more interested.
Yeah, well, I always show up that way, and they always throw blankets over me.
Is it like that fire blanket that they always have when somebody comes out at the end of a movie from some disaster? They have those knit blankets that only show up for that purpose.
Yeah, and it's like when furniture pads are just too worn out to use anymore, they get like re-sewn into those horrible things, which, by the way, when worn after trauma, are not comforting at all. It's like, we need to get these people that have just been through a horrible fire cashmere.
Yeah, we got to give them something that's incredibly rough and uncomfortable. And now, if they had Snuggies,
after
trauma, put them in a Snuggie and they'd be like, oh, I feel good. That's why everyone's like shivering. And you know what I'd love to do? I would love to get a whole bunch of people. This would be a great, I just thought of this. It's genius. Just came to me. Get a whole bunch of people together and get like dozens of those blankets and just stand outside of like an office building. And as people come out, wrap them in the blanket and
start to lead them. Just for no reason.
Yeah, and they'll be like, what happened? Was there a bomb scare or something? And just like be like, oh, this is just the aftermath. We skipped the disastrous part.
You might even get a couple of them to be like, what did I ever do to you? Because like, those blankets are so horrible. We've really touched on something. See, I have a blanket on right now because it's really cold in my house. Mm-hmm. And it's like this wonderful soft, like microfiber fleece. Aww. It's just good. It's not a natural fiber, but it's really warm and amazing. And this is like when I've gone through trauma, this is where I turn.
Yeah, you're not going to wrap that around a stranger, though.
God, no. Absolutely
unless he buys
not.
You a drink.
Yeah, two drinks. This is a two cocktail blanket, I think.
Oh, there you go. Speaking of two cocktails, that's no segue at all there, but we're running out of time. So we want to hit the first movie, which is Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows. And in this one, Robert Downey Jr.'s returns as the eccentric London detective trying to foil a dastardly plot by Dr. Moriarty.
Mm-hmm. I'm knee-deep in the single most important case of my career.
What are we up against here?
The most formidable criminal mind in Europe.
Professor James Moriarty.
If we can stop him, we shall prevent the collapse of Western civilization.
Mr. Holmes? I have a feeling you're in danger.
Are you sure you want to play this game? I'm afraid you'd lose.
First crack. Gray, what'd you think?
I thought this movie was better than the first one, and mm-hmm. I liked the first one okay, but this one I thought was just, it was a really beautiful film, and it was really fun, and I really liked how homoerotic it was.
Well, of course.
That's totally my thing with these movies. So
that's your gauge?
Yeah, for sure. I loved it. What did you think?
You know, I liked it because now I watched the first one and I thought it was okay when I saw it, and then I liked it better on video, and I recently rewatched it and I'm like, I like it, but it for some reason it just didn't quite hold together as much. I thought this one took itself less seriously but didn't become a joke.
Right.
And I liked that. And it kind of was also being irreverent to what they'd had in the previous movie as well. I thought it was more fun. It does get a little convoluted and hard to follow.
God, no kidding. It's like this Christmas I feel like you have to be a rocket scientist to go to the movies. Like Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy plus this one. It's like, oosh.
Oh yeah. 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 So this one I have to say, I'm going to say it's a rocks. I say it's a rocks. What do you say? Rocks or sucks kind of?
Absolutely. I loved it, and really a beautiful bullet time sequence in the forest.
Oh yeah.
This movie was tons of fun.
Cool. We are going to go to a break, and when we come back, Chipmunks.
Hey there, you're back at Fat Guys at the Movies. I am Gray, Kevin Carr's honorary chipette.
That's right. If you haven't noticed, we are Chipmunks. For all of you out there who listen to the show, like our old-time listeners, you will recognize that we did this 4 years ago when the first album of the Chipmunks came out. And then we like kept doing it, and people like started like emailing going, why are you still doing Chipmunk voices? And we had to wait 2 years, and we did it again when The Squeakquel came out. Now that Alvin and the Chipmunks are back in the theaters, we are doing the Chipmunk version of this segment just to annoy people and have fun.
It never stops being funny.
It's actually funnier with a woman doing it because your voice is naturally higher. Like when I used to do the show with Neil all the time, it was weird because we just sounded like these like two burly chipmunks. Best way I could describe it,
my voice screams pink tiny dress and weird animal hips that seduce male animals. Wow, I got made things awkward really fast, didn't I?
Or other male animals. Good to nail it down, because all the male vegetables that get turned on by your teardrop shaped tip hips.
listen, I have many a time been upset at the effect that I have on cucumbers. It's just, it could get scary for a girl in this world.
Speaking of cucumbers, this is a perfect thing to talk about in the chipmunk segment. And actually, we probably should talk about this in the next segment, because just remember, this is the radio segment. But did you see the story about the it was, it's like a Muslim government that said that women shouldn't be too close to cucumbers or bananas?
Oh, goodness gracious. Honestly, like, this is the thing. I'm glad to know. Here's what that makes me think of. I'm glad to know that everyone in the world has too much time on their hands. Because that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And I've heard a lot of ridiculous things, Kevin. Well, usually from my own mouth.
Well, the thing is, what's so crazy about it is in all this discussion, there's no talk about keeping guys away from melons or grapefruit or anything like that.
No, why would you want to keep them away from that? Because that would just, then the world would definitely come to a halt.
Yeah, passion fruit's completely off the board, though.
No, I mean, pomegranates, you gotta stay away from everything. No more oranges for you guys, no more grapefruits. Well, really, actually, now that I'm saying this, I think it's because they're just scared that if they say something like that, then pirates are going to get scurvy.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, because all of a sudden all your vitamin C is just out the window.
Goes back to the whole scurvy thing. Scurvy, that's I think, the explanation for everything.
Definitely.
Speaking of scurvy, Alvin and the Chipmunks may have gotten scurvy when they get shipwrecked. See what I did there?
I really did. Nicely done.
This is the third Alvin and the Chipmunk movie, Alvin and the Chipmunks Chipwrecked. In this movie, Dave takes the Chipmunks and the Chipettes on a tropical cruise, only they accidentally get stranded on a desert island.
Family vacations are all about fun. First, we're going to need to set some rules.
Dave, come on. Rules is my middle name. Seriously, this is so not fair. He's been driving me crazy a lot longer than he's been driving you crazy. Hey, Dave.
Alvin.
I'm going to puke.
Did you see this?
I actually haven't seen it yet. I missed the one screening that they had of it, and all I have to draw on is my knowledge of the Squeakquel.
Okay. Did you see the other two movies? You said you say knowledge of, as in you heard about it and studied it in college, but didn't actually go see it.
Well, let me elaborate. I actually did see it on cable, and it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. In fact, it made me laugh.
Wow. Did you then go back and seek out the original or the first?
I didn't, because I felt like I didn't want to push my luck. But I'm willing to accept that these movies will make me chuckle. Yeah. So, I mean, but you've seen it.
See, I've seen all three movies, and I'm one of those few critics that actually liked the first movie. I thought it was cute. And I took my kids, and my kids were, oh gosh, what, 4 and 6 at the time?
That's their target demographic.
Yeah, it was perfect. And I mean, it was stupid and goofy and silly. But then again, I remember watching the Alvin and the Chipmunks cartoon in the 80s. And if you go back to the original song, because it started with the Christmas song that they did like back in the 50s. And if you go back
Which
to
is
that,
brilliant.
Oh, it's a genius how people can just take any sound and then speed it up and it makes them sound like a chipmunk. I wish I had thought of that. But it's a cute little thing. And so the Squeakquel was okay. It wasn't as good as I thought. The first one was funnier and a little more cohesive. But then again, it's a sequel.
Oh.
This one, it was a weird journey in this movie, because like the first act of it is just downright awful. It's just giant excuse to product placement with the Carnival cruise. And I've taken
Yeah,
it's just nonstop Carnival this, Carnival that, logos here, logos there, all that kind of stuff. And it's just really forced, and it's just sort of this hodgepodge of scenes. They have a dance off with the chipmunks at one point, and they like go to the casino and cause problems, and then they climb up on a kite and they start flying away from the ship because somebody like lets go of the string, and then Dave and David Cross, or Jason Lee and David Cross, follow him in a hang glider. Nobody sees this happening, apparently. What's so ridiculous about it? Then they get to this desert island. So once they get to the desert island, it improves a little bit, because it's just not just this. It actually has a sort of a point. But then it kind of falls. It like makes Castaway jokes, and I'm like, you can't even make Lost. I mean, at least make Lost jokes, because that's the most recent desert island. Are you going to Castaway?
Well, yeah, that's pretty like, I don't even know that the adults watching it even remember that Castaway was a thing.
Well, you know what's funny is, I guess it was like 5 or 6 years ago, there was a Super Bowl commercial that made a joke about Castaway, where he shows up with a FedEx box, and she's like, oh, just had a satellite phone and a GPS,
right.
And blah, blah, blah. And I remember when that came out, everyone was like, wow, you waited this long to make a Castaway joke? Is your Super Bowl? Twice, fast forward another 5 or 6 years, and they finally are making jokes in this movie, so.
I want to know on the cruise ship, this is an important question.
Yes. I've been on a Carnival cruise, too.
Was it good?
I loved it. It's a good family thing.
Good. Did they have a Kathy Lee Gifford chipmunk?
No. No,
that
it just
is a horrible oversight on their part. I already hate this movie.
Like I said, the cruise ship part was bad. The
if they could see me now!
That's
speaking of old jokes.
I was about to say, that's older than Castaway. They could have made Gilligan Island references for
Yeah, well, Kevin, so am I, so thanks for reminding me. Woohoo!
Anyways, the last act, though, is actually kind of cute. And it actually kind of finds its footing. It's a little too late to do it, but it does kind of find its footing in the third act. So it's one of those, you take the kids are going to like it. It's not in 3D, even though they originally were going to do it in 3D.
Oh, thank goodness.
You can see, which will be interesting to see how well it does because of the price factor, because I think that's part of what's killing a lot of kids' movies, is it costs $100 to bring a handful of kids to these movies now.
Yeah.
So now you can go see them for $75.
And spend that $25 on one bag of popcorn.
Exactly. So I'm going to say it kind of sucks because it takes so long to actually figure out what the heck it's doing.
Yeah.
But it has its moments. And like I said, the kids will like it. But it's the least of the three movies. I mean, I respect the fact that it actually tried to do something different and it didn't go into like time travel like Men in Black's going to do. But it went somewhere different, because that's part of the thing with the squeakle, is it just kind of like didn't quite, they didn't know where to go with it. But it's not that great.
Right. I can dig it. All right. Well, this is kind of the bad part about being a critic, but I haven't seen the other things.
Okay.
Because like I don't have any reference point, you know, to compare it to the other two. And so the review's probably just going to be, you know, like, oh, I'm sure your kids will laugh, but I didn't. I wanted to kill myself. You will too. Have fun. 2 stars. It's, you know, you never know what to say.
It's better than Marmaduke. Is that okay?
That's just about 99.8% of everything of that title.
Let's go to the next one. This is Young Adult, in which Charlize Theron plays a writer of teen literature who tries to relive her college, or high school rather, glory days.
What are you doing back in Mercury? Or you move back, or?
Of course not. Gross.
Psychotic prom queen. Down on the
street. Here's the deal. Buddy Slade and I are meant to be together, and I'm here to get him back.
I'm pretty sure he's married with a kid on the way.
No, kid's here. I'm cool with it. I mean, I've got baggage, too.
I would keep all of this to yourself. I would find a therapist.
Now, I didn't see this one,
right.
But you have.
I have seen this one, and it's not so much that she's trying to relive her high school glory days as she is setting out to manipulate and ruin her high school sweetheart by stealing him away from his wife and new baby.
So wait, is it like an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia or something like that?
It definitely has that air about it, and Diablo Cody wrote the script, and luckily, it does not have that Diablo Cody feel to it.
Okay, because I was a little worried when I saw this. Now, like, Jason Reitman, he, you know, Up in the Air was great, and Juno was great, but Diablo Cody, Juno was great, Jennifer's Body was an absolute hot mess.
No, I like certain things about Jennifer's Body, but I agree that it was uneven, but I also like United States of Tara a lot.
Okay. I'm not a big fan of United States, but I've only seen a couple episodes.
Okay, yeah. If you've only seen a couple, you have to really kind of get into it, I think, to like it. But the good news is that it doesn't stink of Diablo Cody.
Okay.
And Charlize Theron is such a fantastic character with completely unredeemable features. Okay. Like, she's a horrible person.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks like a wreck in the entire film, except when she gets gussied up to try and steal this man away from his family.
Yeah.
Just because she's convinced that her life sucks and going back to him is going to make it all better, like a lot of people do.
Oh,
especially
yeah.
In the age of Facebook, like all this nonsense that goes on with past loves. You know, people thinking like, those were my glory days. If I just get that person back, my life is going to be perfect. It's like, boy, it is so much more complicated than that. Those people who think that should see A Dangerous Method. Because Freud and Jung would have a lot to say about that idea.
Did you, have you ever gone to Facebook and tried to track down somebody you dated, or even just a good friend, and it had any interesting results with that?
Nothing of note, luckily. Mm. I generally don't try to dig up the past too much, although I have absolutely used it to cyberstalk the one ex-boyfriend I have among all my ex-boyfriends that it ended really poorly.
Mm. Well, because there's what could go wrong.
And it's, you know, it's like, I've cyberstalked him and looked at his page just to see what he's doing. Mm. And now that I'm convinced that I'm doing way better than he is and, like, he's a mess.
Yeah.
I'm done with it. I haven't done it in a really long time. What about you?
Oh, you know what's funny? I've never really, I mean, I've connected to people I know through Facebook. And so, whenever you start Facebook, you always just go through your high school list. And there's people I'm like, I hated that person. I'm not doing it. You know what's funny, though? Here's a great story. I like, this one guy shows up because, of course, if you friend enough people you went to high school with, it starts picking other people who graduated with you and said,
right,
do you know this person? And I'm like, you know, I was watching The Big Bang Theory the other day and the guy, they had the bullies from their past show up. And do you know who the bully from my past turned out to be? My wife's chiropractor.
No.
And I'm like, is this guy, is it so-and-so? I'm not going to say his name. I'm like,
sure.
But you can figure it out. And I said, because it's the one guy who's a chiropractor I went to high school with. And I said to my wife, I go, is this your doctor? And she's like, yeah. I go, he was a, did I just like went off on a streak? Because this guy was a mean SOB.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And it makes sense that he would go into the business of hurting people.
Yeah, just cracking people's spines.
Absolutely. Yeah. And of course, you know, under the pretense of making them better,
yeah,
but really just tricking them into having to come back to him.
And paying him.
And make him do it all over again. Oh my goodness.
Crazy. But no, I once found a girl that I liked on Facebook. And I know it was actually predated Facebook. I found her on the internet, like through Google and searches and that sort of thing. And I look at her and I'm like,
sounds like you put a lot of effort into it.
Well, and then it was like her, well, she was that one that I like, because I was like, her mom like wouldn't let me see her. And I was a nice guy. But so she, and I saw a picture of her and I'm like, nah, anyways.
Yeah, it's always, you know what? It's always a better idea to leave the past behind. Mm. And always exceptions to the rule, of course, but they're very rare. And this movie is perfect with that idea.
Mm.
It's Charlize Theron is classless. Patton Oswalt is fantastic as the voice of the audience going, what are you doing? I loved this movie.
Oh, great. I'm curious to see it because I think it's got the worst poster ever made. That's the only
is
thing I know.
The one just her staring angrily at you?
No, the one that looks like a Newbery Award book. It literally has a seal on it. It was supposed to look like a young adult book.
Sure. Sorry,
anyways,
Judy Blume.
We got to go to a break, and when we come back, we will no longer be chipmunks.
Oh, boo.
22 miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck. 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys of the Movies. We are back with our normal voices. We are unmunked now.
Boo, hiss.
We got totally chip-faced in that last segment, I think.
Oh, everybody loves that joke.
Swing. That was, do you know how old that joke is? I don't know if I've heard it. The first time I ever heard it was in, I think, Miss Congeniality.
That's right, when she eats the ice cream.
Yeah, she's at the bar eating ice cream, getting chip-faced.
I remember. I love that movie. I was actually an extra in that movie.
Really?
Yeah, they shot it in Austin, and it was the summer that SAG was striking, and I was a scab. They cast me in a commercial for Hallmark.
Okay.
And I'm desperate to find this video somewhere of the commercial. I never got it. But that same summer, I was an extra in Miss Congeniality. And you can see me in the last scene, but you have to freeze frame it. And you have to know my haircut with a camera in front of my face. It's imperfect.
I've got the DVD here. My wife loves that movie, so...
I'll give you a strict breakdown on where you can find it.
Tell me the time code on that one.
I will. I'm an editor, so that shouldn't be too hard.
I understand how that works. I'll give you by the frame. I don't know what that was. Was that like Bob and Doug McKenzie's stupid brother who got a job in Hollywood as an assistant editor somewhere?
It just sounded very flannel to me.
It did. It's because it's winter. I mean, we're here in Ohio. It's chilly. It's cold.
It's actually been cold here. Cold for California, of course.
Yeah.
But I go on like early morning hikes. And
I know we were talking about this. I said you're an idiot for this.
I know, and you're right entirely, because I don't have appropriate clothing at all. Like, if anything bad happened, I would definitely be a Lifetime movie of the week, and the title would be "This Bitch Is So Stupid: The Gray Drake Story."
It's a great title. This bitch is so stupid. The movie.
I think it would be really popular on Lifetime, but it's just not with their normal demographic.
It doesn't quite sound like a Lifetime title. That you know what that sounds like? That sounds like, you know, like a more urban title. This bitch is so stupid.
So it'll be on BET.
That'll be, it's like a special segment on Jerry Springer.
Right.
Like, welcome to Jerry Springer in our famous "This Bitch Is So Stupid" segment.
As it is, I have to piecemeal together like fabrics that work for hiking, because okay. I need a base of wicking fabrics to wick the sweat away so I don't end up colder.
Yeah.
But then I have to put on things on top of it. So it's like I have on a small kind of windbreaker, but I have a sweater on over it, and I have my boyfriend's hat that only garbage collectors wear.
And is your boyfriend a garbage collector?
No, but for some
reason. Why does he have a hat that only garbage collectors wear?
He's a sympathizer.
Okay.
So he
a sympathizer with garbage collectors?
Oh, yeah. He just loves them. So he bought their hat, I guess. That's what I assume, anyway. Because who else owns that hat? Anyways, I have to steal a whole bunch of stuff in order to hike because it's so dang cold. And every single time it happens, I'm like, thanks, global warming. It's like 60 degrees in Colorado where it should be freezing. And it's freezing in California where I should be, you know, drinking a pina colada on the beach.
I have this picture of you dressed up like Genghis Khan going hiking behind the Hollywood sign. That's totally what's the image in my head right now.
I actually...
And a cute ball cap.
Exactly. Well, and you know, I actually just bought a fake fur hat that makes me look like I'm in Dr. Zhivago.
Oh, I got one of those.
Yeah, because it's that cold that I need it. And plus, I figured that I could wear it ironically in the summer.
I can't wear hat. That blows my mind. I could never be a hipster for many reasons. Skinny jeans is probably the first reason I could never be a hipster. But although I've always wanted to like bring somebody with a camera and videotape me trying on skinny jeans, because I'm sure that's awesome.
I just picture it being very like Chris Farley, like fat guy in a little coat.
Yeah,
where you
yeah.
just like start breaking through walls, and like a woman comes to help you, and you kick her in the face on accident, and awesome. You know.
I once did Pilates and had very similar circumstances. Well, you've met me, so you know I tend to be. It's not that I gain like a lot of people. I gain weight throughout the body, but I tend to put it on right in the midsection.
Yeah, so because you're a dude.
Yeah, and that's, well, I mean, you just know people who kind of like get the sausage arms and stuff like that, but I'm still, That was so offensive to say that. I apologize to all the fat people in the world.
It happens. I mean, we all, because I, like, when I gain weight, I gain it in my hips and my thighs.
Okay.
It's a woman thing.
That's a woman thing, yeah. But I did Pilates, and Pilates is all about the core. But if you have, if that's where your center of gravity is, that shit don't work.
Right. It would be really hard. You know, speaking of Pilates, I tried something new the other day called Piloxing.
What, like boxing while you're resting on your lower back or something?
It's not quite like that, but it's like, if you don't like boxing and you don't like Pilates, how about you combine them and really hate your life?
I can't. That sounds like the movie Gymkata.
I wish it were as good as Gymkata. No, it was so hard. I thought I was going to die afterwards. And you do it with weighted gloves.
Wait, how do you box with... Pilates to me is trying to balance myself on my ass.
It is. Now, true Pilates is, but a lot of the ideas about, like, stomach tightening and things like that, mm-hmm. you can apply to form when you're standing up, and then you start punching things with your weighted gloves, and my arms are furious at me.
Really?
Yeah, like, I did a test punch this morning when I woke up. Yeah, that's what I call the boyfriend alarm clock.
Wham! You never believe what you did in my dream.
And my arm, like, severely scolded me. It sounded like my mom, and it was like, don't you ever do that again.
Did it use your middle name?
It did. It was Gretchen Elena Drake. So it was brutal. But it's like, I'm just trying. I've been seeing so many movies in the holiday season, as you understand.
Oh, it's insane.
Yeah, that I've been trying to move around more than usual just so I can eat more cookies.
Not me. I just eat the cookies.
Hey, good for you. Good on you. Well, your arms love you. My arms are furious.
My arms are, but you should see me try to, like, pick up the remote. I mean, it's it's a disaster. And what's really funny is, like, I was saying this to somebody the other day. I'm like, I spend so much time just sitting on the couch watching movies and writing about movies. Except for this week, I'm seeing I rattled them off. I'm seeing like 9 movies in like 8 days, something like that.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. But it means going to the theater. That's not even counting what the DVDs I'm watching and the screeners I'm watching at home. That's stuff I have to go to the theater to see. And I know, tough job, but.
Boy, Kevin, it's a good thing that you don't also have a family and a home to take care of and a life.
But I wear my lounge pants all the time. And even if I have to go mail something in the middle of the night or go to Walmart, I don't care. I wear the lounge pants.
I do too.
My superheroes, sports, not sports, Star Wars or Superman or whatever. But it's so bad that I had to meet somebody at a Panera Bread once. And I get in the car and I drive and I'm walking to the Panera Bread and I'm like, you know how you like... I don't know if you ever carry like money in your pocket and reach down. You're like, do I have some of my money? But I didn't reach down to check to see if I had my wallet. I reached down to make sure I was actually wearing proper pants. That's the kind of life I live.
Well, the other day, like I went to a taping of the Ellen show.
Oh,
it was really fun. And as a prize for being one of the most enthusiastic and idiotic dancers, I got a pair of pants, like pajama pants. And they're really amazing because they're really thin and soft. But the only problem with them is that they say Ellen really big on the side.
What, like down the side?
Yeah, like down the thigh.
Not on the ass?
Not on the ass. It's down the side of the thigh. So it's impossible to hide. And
I'd still wear them.
I still wear them and I'm proud. But it's also like really obnoxious because I would like it way better if they didn't say Ellen on the side of them.
Is it printed on or can you like stitch it out?
No, it's totally printed on there. Oh. And so I came home and my boyfriend instantly is like, what are those, honey? And I was like, dude, do you realize how much pussy I'm going to get in these things? Like, because I'm walking around in my Ellen pants with my short pink hair, you know, and maybe I'm going to toss my fur Dr. Zhivago cap casually over my shoulder. I'm going to be unstoppable with these pants.
If you go out of the house, or is it going to happen when it's there? It's just going to like. People are going to find it.
Oh, yeah. They'll come to me for sure. I can't bring myself to wear them to any place except the grocery store. But of course, that's when I would run into like my horrible ex-boyfriend.
Oh, and the grocery store's overrun with lesbians. So.
Oh, God. Because lesbians when they're eating. I'm just kidding.
Where did this conversation go?
I know. Are we talking about movies at all? Is there a movie thing we're doing?
Oh.
God, I hate that lesbians have to be nourished.
I know. They should be like the regular heterosexual girls and not eat.
Yes. Be more like, eat a supermodel breakfast for once, a beef jerky and Diet Coke.
Yeah, and then puke it up. You lose your hair and your teeth fall out, but you know, you got a great ass.
Yeah, come on.
Standards.
You're going to be able to fit into every single piece of Rachel Zoe's new clothing line.
Ooh, I'm so out of the loop.
Exactly. No, that's good. That means that you have a penis and everything's just the way it should be.
I do have a penis.
Oh, I'm just going to let that one hang there. I'm going to let it sink in.
I do. I do have a penis. That happens. I checked this morning.
Yeah, you did.
Again and again.
Oh, speaking of which, by the way, I want to tell you something really important. Now, you
about my penis?
You have been the gen. No, this just reminded me of something. Your penis reminded me of something.
Yeah. Hopefully, you're not like, I found the smallest little.
You have been the genesis of and perpetuator of many great movie isms like Burlicue.
Yeah, I love Burlicue.
Right? Yeah. And so I have a new one for you.
That was actually Andy from the Night of Living podcast.
Right. I learned about it, I think, through you, though. And
we were eating pizza with him, yeah.
Yeah, and so perpetuator of, I will definitely give you credit for on that one.
Thank you. We
decided that the movie We Bought a Zoo is coming out, Cameron Crowe's newest film.
Okay.
We decided that that's actually code for having sex with Scarlett Johansson.
I'd like to buy a zoo.
Right? So it's like, so now, the best part is that when you go to the theater, you will randomly hear people go, "We bought a zoo!" And they think they're being really cute or they're making a joke about something, but really
especially
they're saying,
children.
"We just had sex with Scarlett Johansson."
Wow. Does that count, like, if you've just looked at her pictures and bought a zoo on the internet by yourself?
Hold on a second. Let's modify this. Because if you've done that, then it's like saying, we bought a terrarium.
Okay.
Right? That's close. It's not the same thing, but it's like in the same ballpark.
Or like an exhibit at the Natural History Museum. Right. Where it's blocked by a screen, but you could see it all. Although you'd get in trouble at the Natural History Museum if you did what I did when those pictures were released.
Oh dear.
Did I just say that out loud?
What? I love this code because it's starting to get even more confusing where the next time you and I see each other, I'm going to be like, dude, we're going to be at like an Applebee's or whatever. And I'm going to be like, dude, I totally saw an exhibit at the Museum of Natural History and woo-hoo. We're going to high five each other.
You'll be like, I'll be like, what took you so long? I had to buy a zoo. Like, not with Scarlett, but.
So yeah, it's very specific, but I love that phrase.
That is awesome. I'll have to find a way to work that into my language.
You're welcome.
I think I'll do it when we do the reading at church. On Christmas Eve. It was the night before Christmas and we bought a zoo.
Put that on the list of things that Ryan Reynolds isn't saying this year.
That's right. Like, I'm a box office success and I did not buy a zoo.
I did not buy a zoo and everybody hates me because I ruined the first movie of a franchise. No, it wasn't his fault. I don't blame him.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I liked Green Lantern.
It wasn't, in my opinion, no, I didn't hate it. I just was disappointed. And I think it's like, it was a bad year for being green until the Muppets happened.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it was like the environment was in trouble. Because everybody was turning against green, but then luckily.
Do you know that Green Lantern is the highest grossing DC Comics adaptation that's not a Superman or Batman movie?
Well, what other ones are there?
Well, like, yeah, then you'll rattle them off. Catwoman.
Oh, well, okay, that's not a surprise.
Even like Watchmen. It did better than Watchmen.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's amazing to me.
Yeah.
Watchmen was infinitely better film.
Watchmen was R-rated. I remember when I was doing radio calls, and Watchmen had, it was sort of like Scott Pilgrim, where it existed in this sort of niche nerd community that outside of it, you had no idea what it was. And not as niche as as Scott Pilgrim, but it was that. But people saw, oh, superheroes, and it's a group of superheroes. And I would had people on radio. This one guy goes, so is this like The Incredibles? And I'm like, no. If The Incredibles had an almost rape sequence.
Oh, boy. Oh, God. And hopefully it didn't involve that costume designer. Jesus.
And, mole.
But, well, and you're in Brad Bird, man. He's coming back with live action. Booyah.
That's right, man.
Mission Impossible 4, Ghost Protocol, which, by the way, in my home, we like to call it Ghost Whisperer.
The ghost. I always thought it would be like Prost Godekarl.
That sounds much more like something they'd say in Mission Impossible. You know, occasionally, if I'm feeling really saucy, I like to call it Ghost Dog Whisperer.
Ooh.
Right? So that's maybe sexy. Jennifer Love Hewitt and Forrest Whitaker are going to show up.
Hopefully not buying a zoo together or anything like that.
Racist. Oh, my God. If they have jungle fever, you don't understand their love.
I don't. It has nothing to do with race. It has to do with Forrest Whitaker.
How dare it's you? Like, it's anybody, sort of like, anybody who was in Can't Hardly Wait would make beautiful babies with Idi Amin. You're a horrible person.
I am a horrible person.
I quit. I want my payment in full now.
Okay, it's in the mail. let's move on. Let's talk about something more relevant. Let's talk about movies. One more that we got to review real quick is Carnage. And tempers fly as two sets of parents try to mitigate a violent incident between their sons.
If Ethan had broken two of Zachary's teeth, I'm thinking Alan and I might have had more of a knee-jerk reaction. I'm not sure we would see the big picture.
Sure you would. Do you know what they were arguing about?
Ethan wouldn't let Zachary be a part of his gang.
Did you know that Ethan had a gang?
No, but I'm thrilled to hear it.
Yeah.
Your son is a maniac.
Zachary is not a maniac.
Yes, he is.
Alan, why are you saying that?
He's a maniac.
You better watch it.
And they're both horrible.
What the hell are we doing here?
You got a chance to see this one, didn't you?
I did. I've seen this one. I had a lovely screener, so I got to watch it in my house. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Okay. I am glad that I had to see it in my house because
I was... Did you throw up everywhere? Greatest scene of the year, by
the
way.
It is actually. It is really good when Kate Winslet loses her cookies all over the dining room table.
Everything, yeah.
And I was so frustrated by these people, I had to start hula hooping in my living room just to make it through the film.
Do you have a hula hoop that just like takes your mind off of bad movies? Is that what you're saying?
I do. I have a magical hula hoop of magic.
That's awesome. It's redundant, but that's awesome.
I know. I'm working on the name, but it's I'm workshopping it.
We got a focus group coming in.
Yeah. Well, so far, I also really like the term joy circle.
I've never heard that. Is that what for the hula hoop?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. That sounds kind of like a circle jerk.
Oh, goodness. I also enjoy the term swinging the hoop.
This is going to sound even worse, I'm sure.
the hip swinging hoop that makes bad people go bye-bye. Also not brevity, but also a good name for it. I don't know. I'm having trouble with this one. Hopefully we'll work it out.
It was like a medieval weapon, maybe. Yeah.
I found like 8 people on Craigslist. And we're just going to talk about it. But anyway, now, did you actually like this film?
Well, this is what's funny is I've had an interesting run with Roman Polanski because I'm not a big fan of his work. And I'm not a big fan of him either because he's, he's a dick.
Sure.
But recently I thought, I loved The Ghost Rider. I thought that was a fantastic film. Mm-hmm. And that was a big thing for me. And then this one I watched and it's based on a play. So it reeks of being a play.
For
it
really sure.
Feels like that one room play. But what I loved about it is as a parent, I know people like this
who are
trying to be like, well, we don't want to teach our kids the blah, 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 blah. And I hate that because I'm like, you know what? I understand the concept and you you can go to the far end, like, everybody's got their cousins who are like, I'm going to whoop you. But you also can't sit there and just, you're not going to be, I have a 3-year-old. You don't negotiate and talk things out all the time with a 3-year-old. Sometimes you just got to make them sit down and eat their vegetables.
Yeah, you have to parent them and you have to be mean and you have to say things that don't seem to make sense. And I totally
you're not
get
their
that.
Friend. Yeah. So
now here's a question. Cause it's a violent incident. One kid hits another kid with a stick and it messes up his cheek and it knocks out a tooth or something.
Yeah.
And who did you side with?
Well, the purpose of the story is you're supposed to flip-flop.
Of course.
And
we all know that you side with one person or the other, though.
Of the children, I would have sided with the kid, the victim, the quote-unquote victim.
Okay.
But and that's just because, to me, it's unacceptable to hit somebody in the face with a hockey stick, basically.
Right.
Because they actually show this incident in the beginning. So, I mean, that's wrong. But in terms of the parents, they're all dicks. They're all awful people. And they're idiots. They have no idea how to parent their kids. And they have no idea how to interact with each other. And they're awful, horrible people. And that's the point of the movie, is to see them just... their civility completely disintegrate when the parents are trying to mitigate these circumstances. And if you see the very final shot, I'm not going to say what it is, but it has a really nice, has this neat little ending to it that you're just like, okay, that makes sense. Which I don't want to, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but it's definitely worth seeing what happens at the very, very, very end, right before the credits roll. But I thought it was interesting. I thought it was you're right. It does get annoying and it runs a little too long. It would have been great as like a 40-minute film.
Right. But, yeah. And it's because it's already really short. It's only an hour 17.
Yeah, it's short. Yeah.
But it is painful. It's painful to sit through. I can't really imagine that there will be a lot of people that want to watch it.
It's not. Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's something that's going to grab a big audience. Again, it's a French play or an Italian play or something like that. So it's a very fringe audience anyways, but I don't think I don't think Polanski made it for any other reason just to make it. You know, he got four great actors in a room together and shot it for probably about $70.
They were really, they were just doing this play in LA. And they had amazing performers in it. It's like Marsha Gay Harden, James Gandolfini, Hope Davis. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that they were like, hey, like, aren't we good enough to be in the movie too? Like, why did you cast entirely new people? Because we're pretty good actors.
Well, they're all like Oscar winners, aren't they?
Well, yeah, like more or less.
Because it's Christoph Waltz. He won an Oscar. Kate Winslet won a couple. Jodie Foster's won a couple. John C. Reilly, I don't think he's won any, but he's been nominated. He was nominated for Chicago. So all four of them are that sort of elite. Although what's great about it is John C. Reilly, he wins as like the worst screen father of the year for this and We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Oh my God, you're right. That's funny.
So anyways, I say it kind of rocks. I thought it was pretty decent. You didn't like it so much though?
No, you know what? I did. It's hard for me to recommend that people see it. If the storyline sounds interesting to you and you like watching people be their most animalistic and gross, then it rocks. Okay. And if you need, you know, if you need a movie that doesn't irritate you, then you should definitely, then it totally sucks.
Skip it.
For sure.
All right, let's do box office real quick, just to give a nod. New Year's Eve came in poorly. To show how bad New Year's Eve is, it made only $13 million its weekend. That is less money than Valentine's Day made on its first day.
I hope that it is a small enough amount of money that they won't let Gary Marshall ever write a script about a holiday ever again.
He didn't write a script.
I know he didn't write it. Excuse me. Direct a picture. I don't care. That Catherine Fugate. I don't know how to say her last name. Fugate. Catherine, yeah. I hate you now because you made me sit through two of these movies is what I just like to call her.
That's a good name for her. I think that was what she was baptized.
I'm really mad about these movies. They're not even so bad. They're good. And anybody that can make Michelle Pfeiffer look like a complete buffoon. Yeah. When she's trying to be a sad, lonely woman with a weird little quirk to her. I mean, that's just bad directing. Gary Marshall, I give him a huge thumbs down in my book. So I hope this movie disappears.
I think I was looking at box office data and they're like, oh, it should have legs through Valentine's Day. I'm like, no, it won't. It's not at all. Cause it's the rom-com, the sort of like the female centric movies kind of got twilighted out. Because you had Twilight and that got all the women to it. Because if you kind of go through this period where there's no romantic comedies or no movies for women or typical women, it usually will do very well, but this on the tail of Twilight, and then like next week is just like there's 786 movies opening.
Yes, and they're all much better, and they're going to satisfy family audiences and women.
Yeah,
and so it's, you know, it's just that I just hope that this one disappears. I hope upon hope.
Yeah, no, I think you're not going to see it show up anymore. It's Gary. Yeah, so. It actually this made less money this weekend than Valentine's Day made in its second weekend. That is how poorly it did, which I think is good, because this one was, I even thought Valentine's Day was just okay, but this one was awful.
Well, that was my thing. Valentine's Day was fine. It had me on the edge.
Yeah, and it was okay for what it was.
New Year's pushed me under the brink. You know, I actually was prepared. I bought a soda at the theater and spiked it with Jack Daniels.
Ooh.
And that was literally the only thing that kept me sitting in the theater.
Okay.
Because I was like, I just felt the warm rush of alcohol spreading through my limbs. And was like, no, I can do this without killing
myself. My face is tingly.
Exactly. I can do this without killing myself or others.
Yeah. No, I hear you. The next one that came in was The Sitter, which damn near beat Valentine's Day with its almost $10 million.
Yeah, which is surprising because I don't know who this movie's for. I'd love to see the demographic of people that went to see this movie, because it's an R-rated Adventures in Babysitting?
Weird. Yeah, pretty much. Did you see it?
I did.
Yeah, it's weird. It was. I saw it in a group in a theater with college students, and the college students seemed to like it. But then again, it's not... I mean, it wasn't like a packed theater. There were more people in Hall Pass.
Yeah.
Than in the same theater than The Sitter.
Yeah. Weird movie. Just weird, I think, overall.
Twilight's dropping. Muppets is doing okay. I mean, I think Muppets is having a decent run. And Arthur Christmas and Hugo are also continuing to make some money. And then Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy was only in 4 theaters and made about $300,000.
Not bad.
Yep. So what do you think is going to win this weekend?
It's going to be a really hard race because, well, Sherlock Holmes is opening on more screens and Mission Impossible 4 is only in IMAX.
No, Mission Impossible 4 opens. Well, is it opening for the weekend in IMAX screens or is it just doing sneaks? No. I thought it was like just doing that like the Saturday at 8 o'clock shows.
I don't know for sure. I got the impression that it's opening IMAX this weekend. Okay. But I think that, I mean, Sherlock Holmes is definitely going to be huge.
Yeah.
Cause it's just going to reach more people than Chipmunks.
I don't think Chipmunks is going to be a huge hit anyways, no, because it's that third movie and it's and this one's actually G rated, where I think the other ones were PG. They may have been G, but I'm pretty sure they're a PG.
Yeah. Law of diminishing returns.
Yeah.
Even the Chipmunks cannot escape economics.
But yeah, the first Sherlock Holmes made like $60 million. I don't know if this new one's going to do it, but I think it's good for 50.
Yeah. I think it'll do really well. And I think everybody's excited to see these guys back, and the word of mouth is going to be good enough. So
yeah,
because it's fun.
Definitely. Now I think actually I'm checking something real quick. I'm just curious as to the Mission Impossible, if it's coming out. I'm looking I'm just taking a minute to look here because I'm curious as to whether it's doing the, because it is just the IMAX run, correct?
Do you mean it's only playing in IMAX theaters? Period.
Yeah. Yeah.
This week. No, I think that's the way they're doing it.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's what it is. And you know what, I was wrong.
And it opens in all theaters Wednesday.
Yeah, next Wednesday it opens in the rest of them. But yeah, it is the ones I'm looking at in town here, at least in Columbus, they're the IMAX theaters. And they are playing all day. I thought that it was going to be like, remember like last year they did Unstoppable? It like had like that Saturday sneaks type thing.
Sure. Well, yeah, I think they just really want people to see it in IMAX because I know, can I give my review, my two-word review?
Sure.
Mission Impossible 4.
Sure.
So dope. Oh my God, that bitches. Movie's so dope. Like, let me tell you what happened in the movie. I won't say anything else about it, but I was sitting between a friend and a stranger.
Uh-huh.
And during the movie, was occasionally leaning over to my friend, making little comments here or there, but made best friends with the stranger.
Yeah.
because at the end of every single scene, he was just quietly clapping to himself. Like, okay. He loved it that much. And during one of the many insane moments in the film, we would just look at each other and, like, punch each other in the arm.
Wow.
And just be like, oh, my God.
The stranger?
Totally a stranger. We didn't even lock eyes when the movie was done.
Uh-huh.
It was like
you just
that.
Got out there. It was sort of like, you know, running into somebody at a party and having sex and then running into them the next day. You'd be like, I don't.
Exactly. It was a one night stand at the IMAX theater. It was hot, and it was the movie is so dope.
I'm looking forward to it because I'm going to be seeing it here in about 5 hours.
Yeah, so. I can't wait to hear what you think.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, cool. Well, let's move on to I don't think it's not going to do. It's not going to make $50 million this weekend.
Don't think so. I don't think that there's enough people clamoring to see it. For it to beat Sherlock.
You know what? It's funny. It has been flying kind of low on the radar.
Yeah. I think word of mouth is going to really help it.
Now, like if they took like The Dark Knight Rises and released it only in IMAX and 400 screens for one weekend, it would still make $100 million.
Sure.
That weekend.
I agree.
But I just don't see Mission Impossible. Part of it is because coming off Mission 3, which I thought was probably the best of the franchise, that was a very soft performance.
Yeah, I don't even remember that movie. I just remember, really? I remember in one of them, like a lot of doves because it was John Woo.
So that was John Woo. Yeah, it was two.
And I don't know. I don't remember anything else. I don't even know if I saw the third one. And so I don't think it's going to be crazy, but I think people are going to be reading the reviews, which are all going to say the same thing I do.
Okay.
Because everyone so dope. Seemed really pleased. Yeah, everyone's I think it's like, I have a feeling that Leonard Maltin's review is going to be so dope.
So dope, bitches.
It is how he talks.
What? No, that's it. That's four words. It's Mission Impossible. So dope, bitches. What? And they drop. And then he drops the mic, whatever the word version of that plunk.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. Let's move on. We got one more thing to talk about. How's award season going for you?
It's so busy. Now, I actually don't vote in any awards right now.
Is it because you think your vote doesn't count or you're just not a member of something?
I'm not a member of something.
You're like, I hate all people. I hate both sides. I don't vote at all.
I'm a movie independent. No, I actually tried to vote in the Oscars once and the police got involved.
Really?
No.
The Oscar police?
The Oscar police. It's that friggin' guy with the briefcase. God, he's brutal with that thing. He comes on stage every year at the ceremony and he seems so nice, but he's not.
From Price Waterhouse.
Yeah, and, God.
The fat guy in the tux with his glasses. He'll honestly cut a bitch.
I know. I don't know if it's Price or Waterhouse, but whichever one he is, he's a total dick. And so I don't belong to anything, but I have out of spite, I've decided to give away the Grey Drakeys.
Oh, good.
So you'll get to read about that on movies.com. Dave White and I are doing a piece on it, but what about you? You're busier
wouldn't it be called the Grey Drakey and Dave Whitey's?
Well, we had a conversation about this.
Okay.
And originally Dave wanted to call it the Movies-ies because we write for movies.com.
Okay.
But then
that's a mouthful.
I know. We realized that didn't really work. And so we were thinking about Grey Drakeys and Dave Whitey's, but we realized that Dave Whitey's sounds both too much like Wheaties and also too racist.
It also sounds like a great hamburger joint.
Right, so people could get confused. They'll click on the link and think they're getting a coupon or something.
If like Wendy's and White Castle merged, it'd be Dave Whitey's.
So we just decided to call them the Grey Drakeys instead.
That's cool.
And the statue that we give away is a koala bear. Aww. Who is riding both a unicorn and an emu. And he's
at the same time?
Right, and he's carrying a samurai sword.
Now, is this just some weird thing you found in a gift shop in like Tacoma, Washington? Or did you like get this custom made?
No, listen, like fun fact, it doesn't even actually exist. what we want to eventually give away to all of our favorite movies of the year. And the categories are things you wouldn't expect, such as, drumroll please, best mall kiosk fashion hats, which is awarded to The Roommate.
Oh my God, yes. Those fucking hats. What is up with that?
Yeah. So you'll get, again, like I said, you'll get to read about that on movies.com.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I am in three voting organizations.
Ooh.
And so I am inundated with screeners. I actually started watching screeners back in November because I'm like, because what I've done in the past is I just like ignore them. And then like between, because my wife's a teacher. And then so when she's off of school for Christmas and New Year's, then I try and cram. But I have like a week with Christmas and everything. So there's no way to watch everything. So I've been really good. I've been keeping up, and there's still a bunch I haven't watched because more were coming in. But I actually feel like I'm a little more informed this year. And it was my first year voting in, or at least nominating, in the Broadcast Film Critics Association, which does the Critics' Choice Movie Awards.
Nice.
On VH1 in January. So those are the first one that these are the first nominations that have come out. And there's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of these awards, especially when it's nominations, you see a lot of the same things coming up, like, you know, The Artist, which I actually haven't seen yet. I have the screener of that, and The Descendants, and Drive, and The Help, and Hugo, and Tree of Life. War Horse actually has come out. Now, this is my prediction. I'm going to make a bold prediction. War Horse is going to win the Oscar for Best Picture this year.
Wow. And
that is my out of the gate prediction. And the reason being is some people are saying, well, but about The Descendants. I'm like, no. The Descendants is not universally loved, and it's been snubbed on a couple awards already. Whereas I think War Horse is going to be one of those all-inclusive movies. Plus, it's coming out later. I think The Descendants, the buzz is already dying down for it.
Yeah.
So, and some people are saying, "What about Hugo?" Because it won like the National Board of Review, but
right.
Scorsese got his Oscar a couple years ago. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I think that people are very aware at how manipulative War Horse is, but I don't think that's really changing anyone's like real response to it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one that I think it's going to be that over, and it hasn't been released yet either.
Right.
When it comes out in Christmas, I think that's kind of prime position, because the only other thing that's coming out that late that's really going to have that wider release is Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close. And I don't, and nah. that's not getting that ubiquitous. It's not getting people rushing to see it. And so that's my early prediction. But
dude, I would love it. This is never going to happen, but I would love, love, love it if Tree of Life got it.
Oh no.
That would be amazing. But
I would go punch a baby in the street. If Tree of Life gets...
I think, I think the Best Actress category is really tough this year.
Yeah, well, I just watched The Iron Lady, and even though everyone's like talking Meryl Streep, I think when people actually go see the movie, she does an okay job, but it's like playing Richard Nixon, playing Margaret Thatcher, because it's so hard to not make it a caricature. Because you're still going like, oh, hi, I'm Margaret Thatcher, because that's how she talked, you know? And I
she
think...
Makes, but she makes it more than that.
She does. And I mean, I don't have a problem with her role. The other thing is I don't think anyone's going to see this movie outside of the sort of like the industry, because it's not that good of a movie.
No, I agree. I agree with you there. But it doesn't matter what people are going to go see, because all of the critics will.
No, Michelle Williams will probably win Best Actress. Not that I don't like her, but.
I loved her in My Week with Marilyn. I don't think she's going to win over Glenn Close in Albert Nobbs or Meryl Streep in The Iron Lady or Viola Davis in The Help.
I don't think Viola Davis is going to win. I mean, I think she's going to get nominated. I don't think she's going to win.
Well, I just feel like it's all Glenn and Meryl at this point. But that's one of the more interesting categories to me.
I have to watch Albert Nobbs. I haven't watched that yet. But
much infinitely better than The Iron Lady, I think.
Yeah. If you go to Fat Guy, if you go to my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/fatguysinthemovies, and go to my notes section, I do have the full list there. But in general, it was nice to see, for the most part, the movies that I liked and nominated actually getting on this list. Like The Ides of March got nominated for the best acting ensemble, and I love that movie.
Yeah, that's an interesting choice. I mean, for supporting actor, I would love, love, love to see Andy Serkis get it for Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
I would not be surprised if he did.
God, I would love that. I would really, that would just make me so happy. That would make me feel like there's hope in the world.
The other one I think the one to lose it to would be Christopher Plummer for Beginners.
God, because he was great in that.
Yeah, he was good. So, yeah, that's what it is. I think we're, that's really all I have to say. Like I said, go to the page, you get to see it, and they'll be doing the award ceremony in January, and we'll give other things coming on. Let's move on to the Fat Guy Five.
All right.
This is in honor of the chipmunks. We have five fun animal movies. And by animal movies, these are not the kind of things that you get on the internet if you search the wrong search terms.
Oh, no, boo, don't. Oh, really? God, now I'm thinking about that.
You're like, number one, woman with snake in her vagina.
Oh, God, I thought that one was way too predictable.
What's funny is when I first got the internet, this is like when I first got the internet, I'm talking like AOL, like in 1997. Sick 97. Well, no, I had the internet, but I like moved out of my parents' house and I got married. So then I'm like, I'm just curious. I'm like, I want to see what I can find, because everyone says, oh, the internet's this thing. And I went to see what I could find. I found some crazy shit that I don't even think you can find now. And a woman with a snake coming out of her vagina was one of them.
Oh, dear Lord.
Another one was a woman who nailed her breasts to a plank.
Okay, don't we need to move on to a new topic. This is
you're disturbed. You're like, let's
finish
the show.
I just can't. I actually can't.
I just broke your brain.
You did. I just my house smells like when hair burns.
All right. Now the first movie, I'll take the first one, and that's and they're not exactly animals, but definitely works, and they're just as valid as animals as the chipmunks are, and that's every single Muppet movie ever made.
Yay, Muppets, love you.
Not only that, because they have a character named Animal.
Except my favorite one, yes.
In Control.
In Control. My boyfriend and I will say that to each other now.
Oh, I know. It's so brilliant. I you know what's funny? I got Disney sent me the soundtrack for the Muppets. Not the score, but the soundtrack.
Yes.
And when I was driving to Cleveland this last week to go see Alvin and the Chipmunks, my son and I were listening to it on the way. That is a great freaking soundtrack to listen to when you drive.
Truly. It's been delighting all of us, my circle of friends in Los Angeles as well, especially those with families, but not limited to them. It's really magnificent.
Oh yeah. I mean, like, and it's just, it's such a fantastic soundtrack, and we watch it again. I got a screener of the Muppets. Hee hee. So I know.
You lucky duck.
Yeah. So we were watching it the other day, and it's, again, it plays better the second time.
Yeah. I've actually already, I saw it twice in press screenings. I'd pay to see it again.
Yeah. It's such a great film. And, so yeah, definitely suggest anybody checking that. So the Muppet movies, all of them, even like Muppet Treasure Island and Muppet Wizard of Oz, they count as animal movies.
True.
So you can take the next one. This was yours.
I am really excited about Harry and the Hendersons. Mm-hmm. I love that. I think the movie's amazing. I'm a huge Lithgow fan. It totally mm-hmm. holds up. And I also like to make Harry and the Hendersons a verb. When you
okay. Does when it involve you... buying a zoo?
It doesn't. You sick bastard. No, it's when it's like on 30 Rock when they learned that sometimes you have to be mean to people to make them go away when it's the right thing for them.
Okay. Sort of like that creepy person with a missing tooth who's always like asking you out.
Okay. yes. But more like when like in 30 Rock when Frank, he should, instead of being a TV writer, he should be a lawyer, and he and Jack get really, really close, but they can't be close in order to have a proper working relationship. So Jack has to Harry and the Hendersons Frank and make him think that he doesn't love him in order to get him to go back into the woods. And by woods, I mean writer's room.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Now, what about the next one? The next one was yours.
The next one is Bingo. And people probably don't even know of this movie, but it's a movie came out in like 1990, 91. And it's about a dog and about the adventures this dog had. Now, it sounds really goofy and Disney-esque and everything, and nothing against Disney, but it's not necessarily just a little kid's movie. It's very irreverent. It stars Cindy Williams.
Oh, wow.
From Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
And it's this dog who just kind of goes on this crazy adventure. And it's if you've never seen it, it's this great slice of weird 80s irreverent yet family-friendly humor.
Love it. Is it like Air Bud?
No. See, Air Bud's a very cheesy family movie.
Okay. You know, all right, it's that, so this is edgier than Air Bud.
Yeah, he like goes and he hooks up with like the wrong dog from the wrong side of the track. He's like a player, but he doesn't talk. That's what's so great. It's this dog, and it's this dog kind of be this scoundrel and running around. It's the most bizarre. It's been years since I've seen it, so I'm sort of vague on it, but I remember watching it and being like, this is not just a kid's movie. Now, you can show it to kids, and kids, a lot of stuff will go over their heads.
Yeah.
But that's the best kind of kid's movie.
Sure. Okay, good. Well, I'll actually check that one out then.
Yeah, Bingo.
The next one is one that's very near and dear to my heart because I love Albert Brooks and wish that he was my uncle. Yes. Finding Nemo.
Yes. Another animal movie with all animals.
Love it.
Except for the bad guys.
Yeah, right? But the final fun animal movie that I really, really love, that's really close to my heart, that I love very much, I've already said that, is Cujo.
Cujo.
I love this movie. I love Dee Wallace. This movie is spectacular. It's so scary. And what animal handling.
Have you ever read the book?
No. No.
Oh, you know, are you a fan of Stephen King?
Do
you
like
Stephen King stuff? It's an interesting book to read because it's not a good book. It's one of these that you're, it's a very typical Stephen King thing where he just kind of focuses on, it's sort of like a Gerald's Game, if you ever read Gerald's Game.
I didn't read it, but I know of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's Gerald's Game is just about a woman who's handcuffed to a bed. And because her husband has a heart attack while they're having kinky sex, and she has to find a way out. And that's the entire book. And that's kind of the way Cujo is, where it's like, it has this setup and everything, but it really just focuses on sort of this very stationary story, as opposed to something like The Stand or It that's all encompassing and big.
Sure.
It's this weird little footnote in his work, but it has two things in it. The ending's different. Did you know about this? The ending's different.
Oh no.
In book. Spoilers.
Yeah.
The kid dies in the end of the book.
Oh God, they could never let that happen.
Yeah. And so it's a big deal. Okay. Ending of spoilers. The other thing is there's a scene in there where the she's having an affair. Dee Wallace's character is having an affair with this guy, and he comes over and he's pissed off at her. So he pulls down his pants. He breaks into her house. He pulls down his pants, not wearing this is what like galvanized. I remember reading this like when I was in like eighth grade.
Oh,
he pulls down his pants. Nobody's there. And he's not wearing underwear because he doesn't, which is just gross anyways. I don't care. I don't care how sexy it is until you fart, until you have a, as they say in The Sitter, until you have a shart. That's when not wearing underwear is gross. And he jerks off on her bed.
Wow.
So that scene's not in the movie.
Wow, that really would have made my last viewing at Christmas more fun. I was watching it with my mom, and she's at the point now where she'll like just yell out the things she doesn't understand.
She's like, "What's he doing on her bed?"
Yeah, it's like, I'm sure that it would have been like, "Well, doesn't he understand those sheets are from Laura Ashley?"
That's an 800 thread count.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny is. Oh, I totally lost my train of thoughts. I was thinking about...
I know you were thinking about that thread count. It happens to women all the time. I could barely contain myself when I'm thinking about linens, I gotta say. Well, Don't try to talk to Gray when she's thinking about linens, my boyfriend always says.
But I couldn't... You're lying back. You're like, "Oh, this is really nice." And she's like, "What? I'm doing something." Oh, no. Keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, keep going. It's fine.
faster, but
yeah, but slow down. You know, whatever.
Yeah. Anyways, no more about sharding, I guess.
Thank you. Okay, that ends the sharding segment of the show. Great.
Okay. That's yes.
I just want to say an honorable mention for my favorite fun animal movie.
Okay, I'll find a way to just completely corrupt this, but go on.
Good. It's a trailer. You should look up the trailer, rather, on YouTube for a movie called Shakma. And that's S-H-A-K-M-A.
Okay. And is it like an Indian movie or something?
It stars Christopher Atkins and Roddy McDowall. And
what could go wrong with that?
Absolutely nothing. And it is about a crazy baboon who's been operated by actually Shakma the baboon is played by Typhoon the baboon.
Ooh.
Right? How brilliant is that?
I would be really nervous to have any animal near me named Typhoon.
No kidding. Especially when you see that trailer. It's terrifying. This is one of my favorite Nature Gone Wrong movies of all time. It's so... You think when you see the trailer, if you like that genre, you think it's going to be like a fun movie to watch. And then the reality of the actual film is like, oh my God, this is kind of terrifying. It's making me sick with fear.
When was it made? I have to look this up.
Early now. 90s, like 90 or 91. But it looks way older than that for some reason. And it is so much fun. And is the finest example of animal handling, I think, in the last 30 years, easily.
Really?
With maybe exception to with Bingo. I haven't seen it yet.
you do have to check out Bingo.
That's just definitely. Wait until you see the trailer. It's really spectacular. It's such a it's not for the faint of heart.
Is it better than like The Link with Elizabeth Shue?
Oh God, that's a great movie. No, Shakma is much more brutal.
How do you spell it? S-H-O-K-M-A?
A-K.
A-K, okay.
Yeah.
I was getting weird Shakma. Videos. In it.
And he's a scary baboon, and I'll just give away one of the more interesting parts of the behind-the-scenes knowledge that I have.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite movies of all time. And the baboon in the trailer, you will notice that he hurls himself against doors, supposedly to kill the people behind the doors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's
he doesn't hurl his poop?
No. He's not. He is way more brutal than that. He knows where to hit you where you live. And it's really it's just horrifying. It's really scary to watch, right? And so Hadrian Belove, who runs the Cine Family in LA, asked the animal handlers how they got that reaction out of him. Because it's so scary, and he has as a baboon, has no regard for his own skeletal structure at all.
Yeah.
When hurling himself against these doors and knocking them off their hinges almost.
Okay.
And it turns out all they did was put a female baboon in heat behind the doors.
Wow. Who wants to be the person to bring that out?
I know, right? Dude, that is nature, and nature is gross and terrifying.
It is horrifying. You know, people sit there and be like, oh, poor nature. It's just so beautiful. It's not. Nature is a hideous, ugly, violent place to be.
Truly. And Shakma is a great reminder of that. I just love that movie to pieces.
Oh, is it on Netflix?
I'm not sure, actually. I haven't looked in a while.
I'm checking right now because this is an important thing.
It's really, and just keep it far away from your children. It's that scary.
Really? It was funny. I was at a horror marathon. Shaka Zulu's on Netflix. That's and Tupac Shakur is on Netflix.
Although I bet Tupac has hurled himself at doors like that.
Yes.
To Shakira. Get what was behind them.
Shakira live oral fixation tour. Yeah, no, I don't think Shakma's on here. It doesn't even exist.
You know what? Shakma's hips don't lie either. But.
Yeah. Well, yeah. My hips don't lie.
They're different.
My belly really lies all the time. I will have to check that out. That's something I'll have to dig that one out and find it somewhere because it sounds like absolute gold.
It's spectacular. It's one of the best movies ever. And it's because Nature Gone Wrong is one of my favorite genres because I like staying inside with running plumbing.
Yeah.
And so just the thought of there being things like Leslie Nielsen wrestling a bear shirtless in the rain. Is
that in this movie?
It's not in this movie. That one's in...
I'm so disappointed now.
I know. God, what's the name of that one?
I don't know. I can honestly say, shoot, in my 40 years, I've never seen Lizzie Nielsen wrestling a bear in the ring.
It's really, really super good. It's like, it's something about, I can't remember the name of it for the life of me now, but it's really, you've got to, wait, hold on. I have to look it up so we can give it its due, because it's really,
Shockma.
Yeah, it's like this, in this movie, so Leslie Nielsen is hiking with a whole bunch of people, and then the ozone layer, the depleting ozone layer. Now, this is back in the 70s. It, mm-hmm. It's depleted enough that it makes the animals go crazy.
Okay, I don't know if there's real science to back that up, but go on.
Hey, you know what? It's good enough for me. It's good enough to keep me inside, okay? And it's really like, it's crazy. He goes nuts. And it starts to affect Leslie Nielsen too, because Day of the Animals is the name of this movie.
Well, that's a good name for it.
It's great. And it's like every single animal in the movie is an asshole.
What does he drink all your beer and leave or something like that?
And he like calls you fat when you're just pregnant.
Hits on your girlfriend.
It's so Day of the Animals is great. It's really good because it's like every single animal in the woods goes bonkers. So it's like hawks and bears, and like there's a cougar at some point. I don't mean it like a 35-year-old lady. I mean like
it's not some sexy older woman in a leopard print.
Yeah, no. I mean like the kind that will sink their teeth into you and never let go. Wait, hold on. Yeah. That still doesn't describe the animal.
It has Andrew Stevens in it, so it must be a good movie.
It's so fun, but it's not Shockma. No, the reason, one of the other things that makes Shockma such a good movie is that they're playing like a live action role-playing game as these government scientists, and like after hours, they lock themselves in this building and play this game. Right.
Okay. That again, nothing could possibly go wrong.
Nothing. And so Roddy McDowall is the one that runs the game.
Yeah.
And he calls himself the Game Master, but he doesn't enunciate. So the entire movie, he's just calling himself the Game Master.
That's awesome.
It's so good. And everybody's like, what do you think we should do, Game Master? And Roddy McDowall like steps up and tries to be a badass, but like, they just called him the Game Master. Exactly. It's like, at one point I wanted the camera to like dolly in, and then it's just like a really tight shot on his face, and he goes, "You better work."
And then they have a club scene come in.
Sashay, Shantae, Shockma, yeah. We're all dead. That's what happens. Shockma. It's insane. It's so good.
Wow. These are not available. I'll have to find them.
Somewhere. Oh, okay. Well, I'll get it. I'll if I have to make a copy of it, I will do it unofficially. And not that I support that kind of behavior, but I mean, when in doubt, you know, this is emergency.
This is important. This is important pop culture, cultural relevance.
Right. It's important, and only the best for Kevin Carr.
Of course. I say that all the time. Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. With that, we should go to a break.
Boo.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about DVDs.
All righty.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We just had the middle segment, which was both the middle segment talked a lot about a lot of things. We were both way dirtier than we were last week, but we were also, I would say, just as relevant. So
I like that. That's what I tried. Those are my middle names, actually.
I creeped up Gray out on a couple occasions.
Right. So which it was is just not, like always.
Not easy to do, though.
You always get to me. In a good way.
In a good way, yes. But if you have the stomach, go ahead and check that out if you're listening to us on the radio. But what's coming up here next, Greg?
It's the world famous DVD Roundup. What?
That's right. Woohoo. We have the DVDs. I want let me just rattle through mine real quick, and then we'll get to yours. Just the ones that are new this week, Kung Fu Panda 2, which is a fantastic movie. You like that one? What blew my mind is just as good as the first.
I totally agree. Couldn't wait for the next one.
Yeah, it's one of those rare sequels. It was completely unlike Happy Feet.
Yes.
So yeah, that was great. And speaking of another series, you've got Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which I love.
I loved this movie, and I got to go to Weta and actually talk to them about this movie, and I got to talk to Andy Serkis, and I got to pretend I was an ape in motion capture suits.
Did they like give you a rendering of yourself as an ape?
Oh yeah, it's going to be on Crave Online. I'll send you the link.
So cool! I want to see that,
dude.
You had mentioned in the middle segment that you love the Nature Gone Wrong movie genre.
Yes,
one of my favorite genres is the scientist in the lab who thinks he's helping humanity, but just it goes horribly awry.
That's a good genre as well. I agree.
And Rise of the Planet of the Apes is like that. Splice last year, one of my favorite movies of last year, that was like that. So I love those movies. There's also The Rocketeer on Blu-ray that got its 20th anniversary release. Just watched it recently. Neat little movie. I don't remember liking it that much in 91, but I really did enjoy it
this time around. Good God, 20 years. Woof.
That doesn't make you feel old.
Oh, it's happening.
Yeah, another old movie, Stars and Stripes Forever, is getting its Blu-ray release, which is odd. I would have expected them to release this like around Memorial Day or 4th of July.
Yeah, something pertinent, because this is going to completely fall off the radar.
It's kind of completely existing under the radar, which is kind of a shame, but, you know, hey, guess Christmas, okay.
yeah, whatever.
There's also Fright Night, the new one. Did you like that?
I actually really liked it.
Okay.
I'm not a crazy fan of the original.
See, I love the original. That was a fantastic, which is on Blu-ray as well this week. First time Fright Night's on Blu-ray. I love the original. I remember seeing it when I was like 14. And this one I didn't like. I think it's one of those I kind of want to watch again. I've got the Blu-ray to watch again. Just because I want to see if it holds up a little bit better. I guess my expectations were to see if it changes with expectations. There's also Family Guy Volume 9.
Good lordy.
Yeah, I know.
That's a lot of volumes.
Funny. It's a lot of, it's funny. It's a funny show, but what are the ones you wanted to highlight?
Well, I won't spend a lot of time talking about them, but this month I've been excited about DVDs you've already talked about, sure. Such as The Help. Yeah. Which I think is going to be a really big movie for award season. And regardless of what you think of its ideologies, I thought it was a really phenomenally acted film.
Yeah.
And I was so into it. And I also felt that way about The Debt.
Okay.
Loved The Debt. I just thought Jessica Chastain and finally a movie that Sam Worthington is good in.
Okay.
Jiminy Christmas, that guy.
Not a fan of Sam Worthington, huh?
Well, all of his movies are just supposed to be him scowling at something computer generated.
Okay.
And this is the first time that he's really been able to do anything interesting that I know of. Now, I know that he's made a couple of movies because he's Australian that weren't big American releases. I get it. He sure. existed before I knew he was on a thing.
How dare he not do the stuff that I want to see after I knew who he was.
I'm willing to allow him his existence prior to the first movie I saw him in. But I thought he was great in The Debt. I really like this movie.
Okay. Good. Good. I really did like The Help. I thought I was surprised at how much I liked The Help. And not a big fan of The Debt, but that's okay.
We'll agree to disagree on this one.
We will. Then the stinker of the week. There's actually not a whole lot of bad movies out this week. There's a lot of stuff. The best of The King of the Ring. If you really, 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 really like wrestling, it's probably not, but I'm going to call it a stinker. That's all I could come up with. Let's do the review wrap up real quick. Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows. I said rocks. You said?
I second that. Rocks.
Oh, rocks. Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked. I said kind of sucks. You didn't get a chance to see.
I know, and I feel like I'm going to say sucks.
We'll see. Well, you know, just go in with low expectations. Maybe you'll like it.
Okay.
Carnage, I said kind of rocks, and you said, did you say kind of sucks?
Yeah, you know, I'm sort of like, rocks? Question mark?
Okay. All right, and then there's also Young Adult, which I did not see, but you did, and you said
it definitely rocks. Loved Young Adult.
Awesome. Next week, we have The Extremely Loud Adventures of the Girl with the Warhorse Tattoo. Woo! And 58 other movies coming out for every single day of the week.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Gray, for being on the show again. It's always a pleasure to have your lovely presence felt.
Thank you for having me again. It's been too long. I just love sitting down with you. You're the best, Kevin Carr.
Thank you. Tell we got about 25 seconds. Tell everybody where to find you and how to get in touch with you.
Check out my show, my podcast on popcornmafia.com, and tweet me at popcornmafia, all one word. And then you can check out my YouTube channel and see some of my CNN reviews. And I look forward to hearing from you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Like I said, next week we'll cover the Christmas releases. The next week after that, we're going to do best of the year. And then I'm going to send you on your way.
Woohoo!